Today on Real Life Radio.
We need to stop and we need to understand and remember that the Lord is present in our lives. He really is. And I hate to put it to you this way, but maybe this makes you feel better. He has to be, because he said he would.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Why Series with a message called Stop, Part 1. You know, when we stop to look around us, the church in the U.S. is in danger of becoming powerless in our witness for Christ. We're showing signs of battle fatigue, and if we don't get refueled, we not only lose our focus, we'll have very little effect on moving our country back to God. You see, God is not willing that any of us should perish without hope. Salvation is for all who repent of their sins and accept Christ as their Savior and Lord. But socialism, communism, and Marxism, they're all on the rise in America, and our culture is departing from dependence upon God and His Word. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that as people who follow Christ, we need hope, we need encouragement, and we need strength to stop and know that God is still present in this world and that nothing is impossible for Him. And now in his message called Stop, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Today, Marxism and communism and socialism is rampant in America right now. And of course, the Marxist, Karl Marx, hated competition. So he sought to do away with God and elevate his ideology and his mindset about how people who are weak and have religion and faith in God, they need that because they really don't have any hope. Now listen to this. So he initiated his worldview instead of God, Karl Marx. And what was interesting about that is when you read about his time and the age in which they lived in, it was interesting to find out that the reason why Karl Marx concluded what he did was because the church that he saw was a hollowed out structure called Christianity. It was powerless. He didn't see any effect. Think about the age. Listen, think about how history repeats itself. He saw a church that was not effective. He saw a church that didn't represent anything that caused him to think again about God or eternity or heaven or hell. Are you with me? He didn't see a witness. So listen, when there's a void, the void is filled. So Karl Marx propagated his socialistic, godless belief system, which is now Marxism today or socialism or communism, whatever facet of it, because there wasn't a strong witness regarding the kingdom of heaven. And you look around at the world today, and you look around right now, and you think about what's happening, and I see the same thing. Why is socialism rising among our young people today? Why is Marxism and communism rising in our nation today? It's a simple answer. It's the same. It's the same story. There is no strong evidence of a church that really believes in the power of God and heaven and the urgency of the human soul and the things of God. There's compromise. There's weakness. There's vacillation. And so there's a void in what is called church in America right now. And so this new religion of atheism is rising. And so what do we do about that? What we do about that is we first begin to realize that in our lives, there's some things that we need to stop and redo. And I hope, again, I pray this is encouragement to us tonight. Before we dive into them, number one is 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. This is an incredible verse. Look, it's still in the Bible. I checked today. It's still there. It's still there, but do we believe it, church? It says there, Paul writes to Timothy, he says, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of all what? Of the what? Of the truth. Do we, listen, you don't have to respond. I'm just asking sarcastically. Do we really believe that? If that verse is true, then the church and the Christian is the source for what should be right in the culture or in our community, on our street or in our nation. We have God's word. We have God's truth. And that being said, I want to just march through these things right now. Number one, mark this down if you would. We need to stop and consider this. Stop to know God is present. When the Bible says that David strengthened himself in the Lord, can you imagine? The city is burning. There's no sound of kids. They've all been taken away. Your kids have been taken captive and your wives have been carted off. And I don't know, when I read that in 1 Samuel 30, when I read that, I thought of this first. It would have been better for your children to have perished. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever lost your kid for 10 minutes? You know that hole you have in your gut? We lost our young daughter one time in, remember the store called Mervyn's? We lost our daughter in Mervyn's. You know what that little stinker did? She was like 3 years old. She climbed up inside, you know the racks? They have, and on the inside, you can't see anybody on the inside and you can't see her feet. We're laying down on the store floor, calling her name, looking and seeing no little feet running around. I remember running to the front doors of the church, of the store and saying, nobody gets out, nobody leaves. My daughter was gone. Lisa's freaking out. We're all freaking out. And she thought she was having fun playing a little game. And, you know, she was too little to discipline. And, you know, you're like, but you're so happy that you just smooch them to death, you know. But that, just that feeling. And David's looking around. His troops are looking around. No sign of their wife or their family. Gone. And then the soldiers turn on him and they want to kill him. But David strengthens himself in the Lord, which means that David took strength in the fact that God was present. We need more than ever, church, to stop thinking that God is far away and remember the ministry and the work of the Holy Spirit, that God is present right now with us. We are absolutely experiencing his presence. You say, well, why don't I feel something? Well, what are you supposed to feel? What would be the right feel? There's billions of people on earth. That means there would be trillions of opinions about what to feel. It's not feeling, it's faith. Faith's better than feeling. Listen to this, Isaiah 41 verse 10, but regarding his presence, we need to stop and know that he's present. In Isaiah 41 verse 10, it says, fear not, for I am with you. God says this. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand, strong right hand. God says, this is me. Isn't this a beautiful thing? This is God speaking. He says, fear not. Because today in our age, maybe you're being tempted right now. And you're doubting. And the world has been hard on you. And life has been hard on you. And you barely wonder now at all, where am I in the family of God? Listen, you and I, we together, the entire church on earth is going through a fiery trial right now. Unlike the world has ever seen. Which is, I mean, think about it. Predominantly, it's politically. This is another amazing prophetic thing. It's not that people are dropping dead in the streets. Think about it. This is not Ebola. This is closure and intimidation and pressure and things that have been heightened worse by political decisions. Think of it. Think of the cholera epidemic in England in the 1860s. That was bad. Or other things. But people make it through. This currently is nothing compared to that stuff. But what's happened? There's a global trial. And we can go like this all day and all night long trying to figure out all of these various decisions and things that have been made. Do I put a mask on the front of my face or now on the back of my head? Do I do the other thing that China says you should do? I'm not going to mention it. Hello. Good grief. All these things going on. No, listen. We need to stop and we need to understand and remember that the Lord is present in our lives. He really is. And I hate to put it to you this way, but maybe this makes you feel better. He has to be, because he said he would. So I don't know if he is or not. I don't know. I don't know. Am I worthy? Does he like me? I don't know. Is he? You know what? Can you just put all that off to the side? Here's a theological fact. He has to be with you. Are you a Christian? Yes, I am. Well, then smile. Because he's with you. Listen, he can't leave. Theologically, the Lord is anchored to you. He made you that promise and he can't go back on it. And by the way, he's not regretting it. He's not like, why did I say that to them? If I had only known. No. No. He says to us, don't be dismayed. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart with your kids. Don't lose heart with your parents. Don't lose heart with your husband or your wife. Don't lose heart. Yeah, but it's so hard. Yes, it's hard. This is a time we're all going through. Yes. Don't give up. Don't quit. Remember, God is present with you. He said he would be. That's enough. He said it. That should be enough for us. Number two, we can stop. Stop to know that he's in the impossible. Now, I know this sounds like some funny little claim it statement, and I don't mean it to be. It just sounds so glib. Stop and know that God is in the impossible. Sounds like a little greeting on a, you know, donut or something. I mean this as a hard, cold fact. Listen, the reason why you and I know about the word impossible is because the fact that what God does shatters the impossible. It's like the word doubt or faith, love or hate. How do you know? How do you know one from the other? Because you know one from the other. Both exist. When we say, that's impossible. Oh, then if that's impossible, then listen, other things are then possible. And if that's impossible, then actually what is possible trumps what's impossible. You say, well, that's not scientific. It may not be scientific, but the God who created science can override his own laws of science and take what is impossible and make possible. That's what a miracle is, by the way, people. A miracle is a violation of the rules or laws of science. It's a violation. Who gets to violate the rules of science? The one who made it. God can suspend right now if he wants gravity. That would be kind of fun to watch for a moment. He's the one that can suspend the physics of death. Didn't he do it when he walked on earth? I love the fact every funeral Jesus went to, he ruined it. He raised the dead. All that money they spent, they hired all those mourners and flowers and caterers, and Jesus comes in and says, arise. It's amazing. But we need to remember the fact that God moves in the impossible of things, of life. How do you, listen, you're a Christian tonight. I'm telling you right now that the stuff that's impossible in our lives, think about it. You may be the one that's impossible in your life. I think that's true about me, by the way. You know, we're all in this thing. You know, I was going to say something, but it's on stickers and football helmets, but it's true. We as believers, we are in this together. We are in this together. Here's the thing. What God says to one of us, he says to all, because he's not a respecter of persons. It's amazing. When God makes you a promise, all of us get to pile on. Wait, what's that verse you just said? Oh, the Lord said that he will be with me. And if the rivers overflow, and if the fires rage, and if the mountains be, he's going to be with me. And you know what? We're Christians, and we're in the family, just like any family does. Give me that. Right? Kids taking stuff from other kids. Brothers taking stuff from other brothers. When you grab a promise and it's a great promise for your life, the beautiful thing about being in the family of God is the fact that, hey, you know what? I need that too. What verse was that? Give me that verse. And I love that. Why? Because we know something about our God, and that is he can shatter things that bind us, and he works in the impossible. He does things. You say, what about this situation? Why doesn't he override? I don't know why. There's things I don't know why he does the things that he does. But he does say to us in the book of Romans that when it's all done, it's going to be really good for us. So how can that be? This person died, or I lost my job, and I love the Lord, and all this is going on. Listen, I only know this answer. When he's done doing what he's doing, it's going to be really good for you. We all go through this. We all need to stop and pull back. Your life doesn't hang on a tweet or a text or a post. And yet today we have poor young generation of people who will entertain suicide because invisible strangers unfriend? Is that what it's called? When you unfriend or you dislike somebody. I can't take it. What happened? In fact, I made a post the other day about something, and somebody pointed out, wow, did you see that on your Facebook page? You lost like 15,000 people when you put that post on there. I didn't look. And who are these people? You lost 15,000 friends. I didn't know. Such friends, I didn't know. Friends, you lose friends that you don't know. What kind of world have we created? Well, listen, that's a lot of people. Who are they? I don't know. But it's a lot. Think about it. And that guy said this. Who's that guy? I don't know. How do you know they're real? I don't know. Think about it. What's wrong with you? We've lost our minds. We need to stop and pull back from the edge of crazy. And grab onto God's promises. That is an encouragement. That's an encouragement. Stop thinking, oh, this will never happen. You know, look, we're going to be, I don't know, we'll see. There's the married couples. They're going to be getting together this week. And you wonder what they're thinking. And there's going to be married couples thinking, this is impossible. And then Lisa and I will be meeting with the singles this week. And we're going to say whatever we're going to say. And there's going to be singles saying, that's impossible. Everything like this happens in life, and we need to stop. We need to stop and say, Lord, you know, Job said it perfect. Naked I came into this world, and naked I go out. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We think we control so much. We think we're, you know, Oz behind the curtain, pulling strings and turning the wheels. No, we're not. And then be encouraged about this as well, regarding the fact that God deals in the impossible. We love these verses, but let's believe them. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, I got to tell you, that is probably one of the most famous Christian verses on t-shirts and bumper stickers and you name. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I know that's, but you know, we see the application of that verse in all kinds of ways. That's sweet, but a little out of context. Before you ever read Philippians 4:13, it goes like this. Philippians 4:11 starts out by saying, not that I speak in regard to need. This is Paul speaking. In other words, he's telling them, I'm not telling you guys this because I want anything from you. For I have learned in whatever state, including California, I'm in, to be content. I know how to be abased. Stop right there. Paul the Apostle is saying, hey, as a believer, I know how to handle seasons of prosperity. That's what Paul is saying. There's been times when I had more than enough. How did he do that? Paul lived the same way if he had 2 denarii or 1 widow's mite. He lived the same way. It's beautiful. I know how to be abased, that's without, and I know how to abound, that's with. He says, everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Verse 13, now it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That verse means, it. Listen, friends, grab this. It doesn't matter right now if in your life you are abounding or you are abased. If you can hardly rub two pennies together, or this has been the most prosperous year of your life. Listen, the bottom line is this: to walk with Jesus, understanding that God has us living and he works in the impossible. Listen, that he's got this taken care of. He tells us in the Bible not to worry. That's just not a cool saying. When you and I worry, we're doing something very, very wrong. And to prove it, because I know people who are big worriers, they get offended with what I just said. You mean worrying is wrong? That's ridiculous. I don't think it's wrong. The people who say that, they're the worriers. Yeah. And they worry because they think they can control the situation. Yeah. And even when they can't, they'll fool themselves by worrying and convince themselves that somehow they had their hand in the mix. Worrying is assuming something to yourself that you are never supposed to be concerned with. We've just become accustomed to it. Stop and pull back and know that God moves in the impossible. He really does. That's how you know the word is because God exists. Listen to this. I have a hard time. I'm going to read this to you. I can't even fathom. I actually almost hyperventilate when I think about this woman. This is terrifying. This is said by Helen Keller. Do you know who Helen Keller is?
Yes.
Please say yes, even if you don't. Please just say, oh, yes. This is an Ann Sullivan, her teacher. Both are miracles to me. I may be off, but I'll be close. Helen Keller had a severe fever when she was either 16 or 19 months old. She lost her sight and she lost her ability to hear. At 19 months old, you cannot hear and you cannot see. Think about that for a second. That is a living prison. Just the thought of it, I'm not kidding you, just the thought of it causes me to... Okay, you know what she said? Because you know, Ann Sullivan taught her how to write. Taught her how to communicate. She said, the best and most beautiful things in this world cannot be seen or even heard, but must be felt with the heart. A woman who's blind and deaf said that. And I think I got problems.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called Stop, Part 1. Thanks for joining us today. Stop Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series. It's a series that brings to light the foundation of human creation and why we exist in this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, Pastor Jack said God's Word gives us both comfort and encouragement, especially during these chaotic and difficult times. But when it comes to reading the Bible, it's always best to have a plan. And that's where we come in. Simply download the Real Life mobile app onto your smartphone or tablet, and then go to the area marked Bible Plus Plan. And once you're there, you'll find a daily Bible reading plan, maybe even start right at the beginning in the book of Genesis, select a verse, or skip ahead if you'd like. You can also read along with the audio version for even better understanding. You can access the Real Life with Jack Hibbs mobile app through the App Store, or we've made the app available for downloading at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.